We have come into this place to magnify the Lord and worship Him. Oh, we have come into this place to magnify the Lord and worship Him. Oh, we have come into this place to magnify
Concentrate.
given life to you. He's given life to me. Oh, praise his holy name. Through God's ministry, the truth has set us free. He's given life to you and me. He's given life to you. He's given life to me. Oh,
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Good to feel the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank Him. Praise God. Praise God. Seems like, before we get started here, let's not forget Saturday is going to be anybody that can make it to help with the garden at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. Come and help, and amen, we'll get that thing, get the garden up and going. And then, and I don't know, for whatever reason, I thought our lunch sale was tomorrow. And I was, I guess, trying to make some kind of arrangements, and I was talking to Melissa, and I didn't realize it was next week. So I would have went to Wagner and got there, and nobody would have been there. So I'm glad she corrected me. Amen. So it's next week, not this week. I don't know. Did I announce that? Okay, I announced it, though. Did I say this week, though? Okay, I didn't. Okay, well. Wow. A little misunderstanding on my part, I guess. I have to apologize for that. But anyway, next week, next Thursday, our lunch sale, and I guess the menu is going to be smothered burritos. So, amen. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to doing that. And of course, this Friday, there is nothing happening this Friday, so you get a night off Friday. Amen. You can have a little liberty to do what you want to do. But remember what Paul said, don't use liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Amen. I just had to throw that in there. Praise God. But I'm so thankful. I'm thankful to the Lord. So, and my. Last night I came in here. Well, to be honest with you, it started probably Monday. I couldn't tell you for certain what time. It was during the afternoon. I guess maybe a little past noon. Monday, and then most of the day Monday, and then yesterday. And then when I came in here, it was just like, it just hit me. It was just like, wow. it was like I was carrying, how many of you ever carried a 50 pound, 90 pound sack of potatoes? Yeah. I'm not talking the kind you get at the store, I'm talking about the kind you put in the old burlap bag. We, you know, we used to help my uncle harvest over there in near Bonesteel, and during potato season, I remember, Brother Aaron knows that. We used to get them potatoes, we used to fill them bags up, our cousins and I, and man, those bags were heavy. Here we were harvesting potatoes, and those things were heavy, and that kind of, you know, I thought about that, and here we were little guys, and here we were trying to pick up them big old bags of potatoes, and it was two to a bag sometimes, but the weight, but we got the job done.
Right.
We got the job done. When you think that you can't pick up weight or carry weight, sometimes if you really are challenged by certain things in your life that happen to you or you're going through, and then you think that you're unable to do it, you would be surprised, especially when you know that you need to get the job done.
Amen.
You would be surprised at what you can do. And anyway, I came in here and I was just, oh man, I was so heavy burdened, I tell you what. And sometimes I don't like to show my emotions in front of people. My wife can tell you that. And when it comes to crying and emotions, you know, when it's with me and the Lord, I have no problem. I'll just cry and I'll just moan. That's how my day was yesterday. Moaning. And well, for whatever reason. And I prayed, my prayer was, Lord, help me to understand what's going on. Because I don't know. I'm just a man. I'm just a simple person, and I don't know what's going on. You know what's going on. So I prayed. I said, Lord, help me to understand what this is, what I'm feeling, why I'm feeling this. And that's been my prayer. I was praying that. I left here, my wife can tell you. I left here, got home, it was still there. It was still there. So I began to pray. I said, Lord, help me to understand this for whatever reason. And the weight of it was, I could feel it was immense. It's only way I can. You know, how many of you know what it's like to carry a spiritual burden? You know what it's like, don't you? You can feel it. You can feel the weight of it. And you know what's in this. There has to be something that is obviously there. Something is placed upon you for a reason. And you feel that. And I felt that. And so I was praying about it. I asked the Lord to help me to understand. You know, there's been times in the past, and I pray for that. You know, I don't know what anybody's going through. I don't know. I don't understand what your days are like. The only way I would probably get any idea is if you tell me. If you told me what you were going through, what you were experiencing through the day. Whether it was something positive or something negative. That would probably be the only understanding that I would get about how your day goes. But obviously, I'm not God, and I don't see and I don't know what you're going through. Maybe sometimes you can almost, if I want to use that word, detect or discern, just by a person's countenance, you can almost, you know, see what's going on. You know, they're not 100%. And obviously, for whatever reasons, you know, and there's times that, you know, you can tell by the way the person, their countenance is and the way they walk and all this. And so, that you know, those kind of things, I don't know about you, but those kind of things, to me, being who I am, it concerns me. It concerns me because, obviously, I am concerned about your welfare, your well-being, how you are and all this. But there's some times that, you know, I know, and I can sense it. It's the best way I know I can say it, so you would understand. I can sense it. But there's times, there was times in the past that the Lord would use me, and I couldn't tell you exactly how many times it was, but it just happened to me. And the Lord laid something on my heart and my mind, and he just spoke it to me. And man, it was the word of knowledge, really what it was for different people. And it just kind of like, when I shared it with them, it was just like their minds were blown. And when I say this, no kidding, their eyes were probably about that big. And of course, the response, the reaction, they never really told me, but they told somebody else that was there at that time. They said, how did he know that about me? How did he know that? Well, I don't know. God knows. But it seems like if I want to say it, my the way I try to analyze or evaluate certain things, try to, I mentioned it about people trying to figure out God. You can't figure out God. You can't figure out God. But there's times when I've been trying to figure out certain things because I can feel it. How many know what I'm talking about? You can feel something there. You can sense it. It's just not, it's out of place. It's just not kosher. And so you can sense it. And to me, when I experience that and I feel it, and I go, man, it eats me up. I just kind of go, wow. So I've been praying lately, and not just for myself, but I've been praying for this whole church. And we discussed that in men's group Monday evening about the gifts of the Spirit, how they are so needful in the body for edification. For edification, we need the gifts to operate freely. And I believe this, I know that by experience, and of course, you know, what we've been taught and what we've seen, how that the gifts are very useful. When we say that we do not need the gifts, we're lying to ourselves. And coming to that place where we can allow the gifts of the Spirit to operate freely, and you know, that way God can have, you know, his way. And we can understand, because to be honest with you, I'll just be totally honest with you. A lot of people do not want to share whatever it is that they are experiencing, what they're going through, or certain things that they're holding on to, or even certain things that they harbor. A lot of people don't want to give it up.
Amen.
I've seen that. I know that because you learn that in counseling, and they call that defense mechanisms right away. You just want to put the walls up, and so obviously this thing has been eating me up. So I've just been praying. I said, Lord, help me. I said, just do it like you've done in the past. I certain things I haven't known or about people, and all of a sudden here comes that word of knowledge, and boom. And when it happened, I tell you what, it did make a big difference, because those people realized that God understood and knew everything about them. And you know what it led them to do? It led them to seek God, get their heart right with God, pray through, even receive the Holy Ghost, even receive the healing that they needed. Not just for their body, but for their mind and for their spirit. So that's why these things are needful. And so I guess I was kind of like in a place where I didn't really, I went to bed last night thinking about it and troubled by it, and I was still feeling it. But this morning got up and it was a little bit different. So I thought, okay, Lord, that's good. That's good. But how many of you ever have went to bed with something and slept with something and even dreamed about something? you know what that's like, and that's kind of how it was for me. But I woke up this morning, and you know, I wasn't really trying to. I guess my attention wasn't really directed to it per se, but all of a sudden, here comes And I knew it was the Lord, and here's the word. This is how it came to me. Hidden things. And I thought to myself, okay. Things that are hidden. Obviously, that's what it is. Things that do not want to be brought to light. And it could be, you know, so many things, whatever it is. Praise God. I know this, that God does want to do work. God wants to do work. In order for us to be able to get to that place where we can allow that to happen, obviously it's going to be one thing that needs to take place is obviously putting our trust in God. And even in a sense of cooperation. And you might say, with who, Pastor? With God, first of all. And with whoever else is a part of whatever it is. Cooperation. Humility. Praise God. How many of you really trust God? Really put your trust in God. Because that's the mindset we have to have. Especially concerning our salvation and where we are. We've got to, like the Bible says, don't lean upon your own understanding. And in order for us to really do that, we've got to put our trust in Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. All your ways. Hallelujah. Because if we do not do that, obviously we're going to have some difficulties. We're going to have some struggles. We're going to experience certain whatever it may be, feelings, emotions, and all that kind of stuff that goes along with human nature. And we're going to have a little difficulty with really communicating, not just with God, but with our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's difficult sometimes to do that. Amen. I believe that God wants to do a work. Amen. in this church. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 15 is where I want to start, and it says, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. May grow up into Him in all things. Which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. You think about it. We all have some understanding of what we know what truth is, don't we? I'm glad we know the truth. Right. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right. We understand that very well. We do, but sometimes, here's the other part of it, is to be able to take that truth that we know, and when we relate to others, not to be so overbearing with it, but speak it in love. Because if you really are in the place where God wants you to be spiritually, and obviously the Bible says what God is love. So if we are walking in that place with Him in the Spirit, you know what's going to be manifested in our lives? It's going to be that love of God. Amen. So to be able to speak the truth, we need to understand it's going to be joined together. It's going to be meshed together with God's love. So we can speak the truth in love. You know, it's something, it's really something how, and I'm speaking about all of us, because human nature is that way. Notice how we really like to get offended. Real easy. I'm gonna share something with you, and if you brethren don't mind me saying this. The men's group. There's one thing I noticed about men's group. We're close.
Amen. Yes. Very close.
We talk about certain things. We go over, and it's not anything like formal, you know. Sometimes we may have a Bible study, sometimes we may not. Sometimes we may talk about things that are going on worldwide, world events. A lot of different things we talk about. This discussion, we just let the Spirit of God lead us. But you know what? We're to the point where now we're the communication is very open.
Yes.
And the thing about it is, we can speak our mind. We can speak our mind, but we do it in a way that, you know, we minister to one another. And I noticed that, about it. But it's good when you can have that kind of relationship. When you talk like that, you can, and you're able to tell somebody the truth. You're able to relate that truth. If you have a concern, if you have an issue, whatever it may be, guess what? You can speak it. You can speak it freely without having any kind of negative repercussions. So I'm glad we have men's. We call it men's group.
Amen.
But I'm glad, because a lot of things we can definitely, you know, it's not a gossip session. I think about what the scripture says, that stone sharpeneth stone. And that's kind of what takes place there. There's a lot of, and the good thing is that it's an atmosphere that obviously... You know what's there a lot of times? Humility.
Right. Amen.
But here's the thing. I've noticed this. When you have a issue, when you have, and I'll say it this way, when you have ought, you're able to bring it to the surface in such a way where this is what's going on, this is what I feel, this is my concern. You can do that. You can talk freely like that. How many of you are like that? How many of you are you know, to the point where you can just open up and you can just talk to somebody? You can speak to somebody without any hesitation. Amen. And the thing about it is, here we are. We're the body of Christ, aren't we?
Amen.
We're the body of Christ, so here we are. We should be in that place, because if we are in that place with Him, We talk a lot about unity and harmony, being of one mind, being of one spirit, being in one accord, together in one place. We talk a lot about that, and understand this. I believe that's the will of God for us to achieve in our fellowships. Coming to that place where we can just, you know, you cannot, let me impress your minds with this tonight. You cannot hide things from God. We may not know exactly what's going on in your life, but God does. And when there's certain things that are there, that are present, let me tell you something. You know, we can put the wool over each other's eyes, but we can't put the wool over God's eyes. Because He knows what's going on. He knows what is happening. And guess what? Here's the thing about it. Amen. We need to understand this. We need to be able to face these things in such a manner that we can receive reconciliation. That's my only response to what was laid upon my heart this morning. Hidden things. I try to whenever the Lord, you know, lay something on my heart, and I don't want to say this to turn anybody off, but I always say this when God speaks to me. One time I remember, and it wasn't here, but I remember one time saying, I heard somebody said, the Lord spoke to me. Something. Yeah, who does He think He is? And here's the thing. When that happens to us, and when the Lord lays a thought on my heart, and usually a lot of times it's always, He bears witness by scripture. So right away, first thing I thought in my mind was that scripture verse Paul said, hidden things of dishonesty.
Wow.
And you might say, Pastor. But I'm not saying you're doing something dishonest. I'm saying maybe you're dishonest about opening up to God. I remember talking to a person one time, and we were talking about issues, problems. And of course, this wasn't in a church setting, this was in a clinical setting. And this person was pretty, and I'll say it in that way, pretty tough. Because they didn't want to let anybody in. And they had their walls up, they had their defense up. And man, talk about just so tough. But yet you could still see by looking in their eyes, just by the way they were, that they obviously, they didn't like the where they were as far as everything that was going on in their life. And I was just paying attention to that every session. You know, I used to do anger management. And every session of anger management, you do your exercises. And all those exercises are geared to somehow motivate that person to break loose. And I was keeping my eye on that person because I was thinking, man, this person is shut up like Fort Knox. But you know what? One time there was just one word that was said, and all of a sudden I seen a change in that person. And so I started to kind of, that was my, I got my foot in the door, so to speak. So when I began to talk about emotions and what it is for us as human beings, that these emotions that we have are God given to us. They're given to us so that we can experience it. The whole spectrum of emotions that you and I have, amen, from love all the way across to anger and all these different things that abide in our emotions. Bitterness, hatred, you know, all this. Violence, murder, love, you know, all these things. And here it was, when the door was open to that, I realized what I needed to do. So I grasped for it and I reached for it. And sure enough, what happened? As soon as that one word, I said that one word, that was the very thing that broke him. And he began to cry. But you know what? And here was his confession. He said, I knew what was going on. I knew you were trying to help me, but I was just being stubborn. Human nature. So when we talk about things like this, I'm saying that. I know it kind of sounds almost like a clinical setting tonight. But we're in a spiritual hospital. We're in a spiritual hospital. Praise God. Thing about it is, and I don't know if you feel that way, but I know one thing. I can't make it without the Lord.
Right. Amen.
I need him in my life. I can't do anything without him. There's just nothing I can't do without the Lord. I need him in my life. He needs to be there in my life. So as a result of, you know, coming to that understanding, the other part of it is submission, submitting myself, humbling myself. Hallelujah. So in that process, and I say this, and I need to kind of, you know, I don't want to try to hurry up and push through this thing, but I want you to understand this. When we talk about, and I know Brother Craig ministered on that one of his services about change, how we come to that place of change, how God deals with us, that we change. We go through certain things, but unless we somehow allow the Lord to move in our life, and even if I want to come to that place of saying it, you know, motivate us. I think about what when the Apostle Paul was converted and the Lord spoke to him, he said, it was hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know what that means? Does anybody know what he meant in that scripture? That's in the book of Acts. To kick against the pricks.
Knowing what you should be doing and you're not doing.
Yeah, you're not doing. Obviously, the Lord was, here's the thing. The Lord was trying to motivate him, or if I want to say it in that way, direct him in a certain direction. Kick against the pricks. It was like a cattle prod. You use a prod to drive cattle. Back then, they didn't have electric prods, but they obviously had these little rods or whatever it was to poke them on the side to get them to go a certain direction. And he told Paul, he said, it was hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I was trying to, if I want to say it that way, I was trying to drive you that direction. But you were fighting the pricks.
Right.
Ooh. Are you listening? And that's sometimes what God is trying to do to us. Every time we come in here, you know what the Lord's doing? The Lord is going like this to us. By His word, He's trying to somehow get us going a certain direction, but here we are.
Amen.
Anybody ever have a cow kick at him?
Amen.
Adrian knows what that's like. You're trying to push cattle down a certain, you know, and every once in a while that leg would come out. We've had horse kickers, haven't we? We've had horses kick us one time. Boom! Woo! They don't like it when you push them.
Right.
They don't like it when you're trying to get them going to a certain direction. That's human nature. We don't like trying to go a certain direction. We want to do what we can. And let me tell you something. It would be so better for us. I'm not going to say easy. It would be so better for us if we would just let the Lord, amen, take us. Instead of all the, how can I say, resistance, stubbornness, ego. We all have egos. I'm not talking about the bird. E-G-O, egos. And sometimes it's hard for the Lord to, you know, wrestle. Let go of that who you are. Self. Like Brother Garrison used to tell us, this is how we are before we come to know Christ. Me, myself, and I.
Right. That's right.
He said, but what happens when the eye's will is broken and it's bent? He said, it becomes a C, Christ. Sometimes that's what happens to us. We have to be, our will has to be dealt with.
Yep. Amen.
Praise God. Let me get out. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things. May grow up into Him in all things. You know what? I might have shared this testimony with you. We know some brethren in Edinburgh, Indiana, but dear precious brethren, Brother Elder Grover Myers. I don't know if Brother Myers is still alive. Brother Mark Myers, his son, Elder Grover Myers. Sister Darla Marshall came from that church, and we got to know those people, precious people. And we've been fortunate enough, we were asked to go and preach for them several times. We go and preach, and they were adding on to their church, and their building was, the old building was first started out. Brother Grover Myers showed me a picture of it, and it was just like a four square house that was just one room. He said that's how we started out. He said then it grew. We just added on to it. So that little fellowship began to grow, and then it became a good-sized building. And then from there, they added on a big, beautiful sanctuary. I mean, beautiful. And so anyway, he was showing me, he was telling me all the history of it. And he said, Brother Marshall, there have been people with us here for over 50 years. There's still, some of them are still here with us, but some of their children and their grandchildren are with us to this day. But here's the thing. What impressed me, and he didn't really have to tell me anything, but when you walked in that church, and when you spoke with people that were in that church, and especially the elders, boy, you knew that they had some, you know, some depth to their faith and their walk, just the way they talked, and just what came out of their mouth, just the way they were. You knew that they were, man, there are some solid folks there. And we were there several times, and I thought to myself, my, you just didn't see them, you know. And obviously, yes, they've gone through certain things together. They experience a lot of things together, growing as a body, but yet, amen, after 50-some years, still there.
Right.
Amen.
Still worshiping God.
Amen.
Woo. Still doing the work for God. I thought to myself, man, and the first thing that came into my mind was this, maturity. Maturity. Obviously, they grew into the place that they were in right there. And that was so beautiful about it. You see that every now and then in a church. You see that maturity. You see the way people are, their spirit. Their spirit. Praise God. So I thought about that. Thought about that. That we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Now let me tell you something. I want you to get a hold of this. I don't know how many times I've ever mentioned this. I want to tell you something about this fellowship, this church, and every other church. The way God structured His body. We're not part of an organization. I used to belong to an organization when I was first ordained, and of course that organization dissolved years ago, and it split into another organization. I agree with as far as their, you know, their bylaws and their doctrine. I said, no, I don't want to go there. So I chose not to carry a card with them any longer. I have been in the United Pentecostal Church, was in the United Pentecostal Church, but amen, not, you know, trying to be judgmental or anything. I just disagree with some of the things they allow and some of their policies and some of their doctrine. I disagree because it's not in the Word. So as a result, I just remove myself. But yet, we look at these organizations, and yes, there's some good people. We know some good people in some of these organizations. Good people. But here we are. The whole thing is this. God never really has spoken in His Word as far as which organization you should belong to. The only organization I belong to is the Jesus name. The Jesus name church.
Yes.
One God. Yes. Apostolic.
Yes.
Church.
Amen.
And the church that was born on Pentecost in 33 AD. That's the organization I believe in. That's the organization I want to be a part of. So we've never really belonged to any organization like that. But here's the thing. God has structured the church to be, now listen to this, a self-supporting, self-governing body. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Self-governing, self-supporting body.
Amen.
We have the instruction, we have the Word of God that gives us the insight on what we are to do as a body, as a fellowship. As long as we follow that prescription, as long as we follow that teaching, we're going to be fine because it's His body. And just let me wipe this off of your minds. Now, I get tired of people saying this. I get tired. I get so sick and tired of this. This is not the Marshall's church. I know I have a lot of family in this church. I can't help that. And truly, if we had a lot of our other people back in this church, everybody would outnumber the Marshall family. I wish that would happen. Because people just want to always go to the, oh, it's the Marshall church. It is not the Marshall church. It's the Lord's church. Hallelujah.
That's right. That's right.
But when you look and you see just exactly what it is right now and what God has called us to, see, this is one thing that I want you to get a hold of. This is one thing that I want you to comprehend. Because we have it. We have it right. It's in our hands right now. And the thing about it is, every one of you have to do your part. Because he says, whom the whole body fitly joined together. Fitly joined together. You know what? Close.
Yes.
Amen. Close. Look, here's a good example. Amen. Here's a good example.
Yes. Amen.
This is how we should be together. We're all joined together. Compacted.
Yes. Yes.
Compacted. You know, you know what this is right here? This is the Holy Ghost binding us together.
Amen.
This is the Holy Ghost binding every stone, every member together. That's the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, right.
So that wall is going to be a sturdy wall.
Yeah.
It's going to be a strong wall.
Yeah.
Compacted. Yeah. Fitly. Yeah. Guess what? There's not going to be no openings there.
Right.
It's not going to be no gaps there.
Right.
It's going to be a solid wall. Excuse me.
Right.
A solid wall. So every time you come in here, and that was the whole reason why, you know, that didn't do, we just didn't decide, hey, this is how we're going to make our mural. You know what? God's the one that gave me that vision.
All right. Amen.
So that's what God gave me.
Yeah.
Amen. So we, you know, that's
awesome. Amen.
Because, guess what? Somehow or another, this is the way we need to be. This kind of gives you an idea. A picture of how this fellowship ought to be.
Yes.
Fitly joined together.
Yes.
And compacted by that which every joint supplies. That's you and I together.
Yes.
You and I together.
Yes.
Every member doing what God has called them to do. And if you do, if you participate in God's plan, guess what? This thing is going to be so successful and prosperous.
Right. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Jesus.
That's right.
Compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. In the measure of every part. Whatever your part is. Don't be overwhelmed by saying, oh, whatever your responsibility is in the body, it could be just something, you know, God's not going to throw a great big old list in your lap and say, here.
Right, that's right. Amen. That's right. Amen. Wow.
Here's the thing. Compacted by what? Compacted by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So however the Lord ministers in us through His Spirit, we're going to fall into that place. We're going to do our part. We're going to fit right into the place that God wants us to be.
Yes.
That's the reason why I love this mural, because every one of these stones, they're different sizes, different shapes, but they all fit together.
Amen.
That's just like you and I.
That's right. Amen.
Different sizes and different Amen. Shapes. But guess what? We all fit together.
Yes.
But here's the other part of it. It's coming to that place of recognizing coming to that place of recognizing what God is doing in our lives, coming to that place of recognizing and praise God, doing what we need to do to, amen, add to this fellowship, to this body, so that this body can grow. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's not up to me. You can't all put it on me. A shepherd is not the one that produces sheep.
Yeah. Right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Sheep produce sheep.
Yes.
Amen. Ooh, get off of it.
Right. Right.
We can't have any new lambs, any new babes, because pastor's not doing what he should be doing. No, no. Don't put it on me. In my defense, let me tell you something. In my defense, I'm here every service. I'm here every time for prayer. I'm here every Bible study. I'm here all the time. I'm doing the best to do my part. It's up to you to do your part.
Amen. That's right.
Woo.
Amen. That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know what I did, and this is how I worked my way. This is how I proved myself. Brother Gerritsen got me started on home Bible studies. So I began and I began to do home Bible studies. I would contact people and I would ask them, do you want a Bible study? Of course, that was before I got my charts. And so I'd get people in home Bible studies, get interested. They say, okay, yeah, we'll greet you. So I started giving home Bible studies. I have a lot of material I used over the years. Just material just to get a hold of somebody, teach them about the Bible. Pretty soon I started investing in charts, Search for Truth, Called Chosen and Faithful, and then The Light for Living. And man, I tell you what, that was something. I went into people's homes. I gave Bible studies. I made contact. I got into soul winning.
Ooh. Wow.
Hallelujah. My wife and I were talking about something the other day. When I was ordained in 1985, Brother Gerritsen spoke to me and he said, Brother Harold, he said, I know you're working right now, and you know we work construction. He said, do what you can to get this body growing, this church growing. Do what you can. He said, there's going to be a day, and I want you to listen. He said, you're going to need to invest your time and your effort solely in your ministry. There's going to be a day when you're going to find out you're going to need to lay down what you're doing right now as far as your job and just focus on your ministry. He said, the more souls you win, the bigger body you have. He said, God will take care of you through the tithe. And you know what? I understood that way back then. And I thought to myself, okay, but you know what I did? I didn't obey him. And then here comes Brother Hancock years later. Brother Hancock speaks to me the same thing. You need to pay attention to your ministry, Brother Harold. He said, I know you're trying to support your family. He said, but the church should support you. He said, that way you can focus on the church, on souls. Guess what I did? And I always wondered, I worked all my life. I had a responsibility. I had to take care of my family. I had to make sure there was food on the table. They were clothed, they were fed, we had a roof over our heads, all the responsibilities. Guess what I did? I told my wife, I said, I realized something. You ever wonder why it was sometimes we really struggled, even though we were working?
Amen.
And I thought, why was it? Because I wasn't paying attention. I was out doing my own thing. But here I am. Guess what? When we moved over here, the Lord specifically told me, I don't want you to work. I don't want you to seek employment. Here was my question. Lord, how am I going to take care of myself? How am I going to pay my bills? You know what the Lord said? I will take care of you. Just do what I tell you. Guess what? It's been since 2013. Guess what? That's how many years it's been for me to work full time. But guess what? God has been taking care of me. But here we are. Now, right away, you brother, don't say, well, pastor says you don't have to work, so I don't have to work. Don't misunderstand, misinterpret. Because this is my calling. This is my, amen. I'm employed by him.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
But why am I saying that? Because we need to come to a point in our faith that we need to put our trust in him and believe what he's able to do for us.
Amen.
Our part. If you continue to minister to the Lord, if you continue to offer what you have, your part, it may not be great. Everybody has a different calling. Everybody has a different gift. You're not all doing the same thing. Whatever God calls you to do, just do it to the best of your ability. You're going to find out God's going to bless you. And that's how this church is going to grow. Okay, so here's the other part of that now. Our relationships with one another. Our relationships with one another. Now, I know this. I know we're not a perfect church. I don't think there's really a perfect church. But whatever arises in the body of Christ, whatever arises, all the differences. If I want to say it that way, I'm speaking like a counselor. The dysfunction. Sometimes it's like that. I believe this right now. And I'm just saying this because I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I've been feeling this for a long time. I believe there's some dysfunction in your families. There's no open communications. Are you listening to me, kids? There's no open communications. I used to teach my kids. I used to be all my kids all the time. You don't hold anything back from me or your mom. You tell us what's going on. Because the devil would like to use your silence.
Amen.
To create a lot of problems.
Amen.
When God can take care of it for you. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is. When we can... how many of you are serious about your walk with God?
Amen.
Because there's some things that we need to understand. If we're serious, you know, we're going to do our best. And when certain things happen, when there's a little bit of churning in the body, because it will happen, disagreement, you're going to have to be mature enough to say, okay, we can work this out. Paul said, if any of you have a quarrel against one another, as Christ forgave us, we need to forgive them. Simple as that. Get over it.
Amen.
Don't harbor those feelings anymore. Hallelujah. I'm going to say something here now. Listen to this. We're not here to compete with one another.
Amen.
I'm not here to compete with you. I'm here to work with you.
Amen.
I'm here to do what I can to. Amen. Guess what? You know what my vision is? You know what my goal is? I want this church to be full of souls. And if we would get on the same page concerning that, man, I tell you what, let's let go of all the dynamics, all the relationship struggles and problems that we have with you know, certain ones. Be honest with yourself. Say, okay, if you have the Holy Ghost, Brother Garrison said this, if there's aught, and of course the Bible says, if you have aught against somebody, go to that person. Talk to them about it. Go to them. Don't go to a third party. Go to them. But in a godly manner, talk to them about, hey, you'd be surprised how that works. But you know what he would say? If there's differences there, he said, you know what you need to do? Bring both parties to the table and put everything out on the table. He said, because then truth will, amen, truth will open up. Because you can tell when people aren't being truthful. I'm going to tell you something. There's some people, I need to clear the record, because I know some of you might feel this way about me. But the people that aren't here, I want to let you know. We've had situations arise in this church with several individuals. Unbeknownst to you, they were trying to cause schism. I knew of it. I confronted it. I did my best to try to address the situation and do it in a godly manner. I even had people go in my office, talk to them. Brought it up point blank. And you know, when it comes to dealing with people, you always want to, you know, and some of you families in here, you know what I'm talking about. We had to call family members in. We had to get the stories right, because there's always two sides to a story. Don't just accept one person's side. Amen. There's always two sides to a story.
That's right.
And when you deal with it in that way, then you deal with it. But see, let me tell you something. And I'm just saying this. I'll make a long story short. I did what I needed to do to allow those people to stay in fellowship. And I told them that if you're going to be here, this is what you need to do. Because here's the problem. This is the problem. If you address this problem, get it under the blood. Let me tell you something. Everything's going to be fine. But you know what they decided to do? Not to address the problem. And so as a result. But I hear people say, well, Pastor didn't care or didn't say. No, no, no. I did what I could do.
Right.
You know why? Because I have to give an account.
Right.
Amen.
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 That's right.
I take my position seriously.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what happened? When this was all going down and I was praying, I said, Lord, man, help me to deal with this. Give me the wisdom. But you know, there were some hidden things that weren't being put on the table, so to speak. They didn't want to go there. That was a real issue. We were down in Chautauqua that time, and Brother Warren was preaching that evening, and we were helping Brother Warren with altar call, praying for people. And after everything was said and done, Brother Warren comes walking up to me and says, Brother Marshall, he said, the Lord spoke to me about certain things you're going through in your body. And he told me what it was, and man, he hit the nail on the head. And he told me who those people were and what was going on. I said, you know, he said, Brother Marshall, you try to deal with it, but guess what? God's going to deal with it. I didn't. So I thought to myself, in order for us to come to that place of growing, spiritual growth, development. I know this. You're always going to experience certain problems. Usually it always has to do with, you know, if it's sin or things that are there. If it's, you know, like Paul said, the weight and the sin that easily besets us. Even self. Even yourself. You need to understand. The only way you're going to overcome and get through it, and the only way that this body is going to grow where we can get to that place is if you learn how to deal with these things in a way that you're going to grow by them. That's the reason why we open up the Word, and that's the reason why we teach and we preach what we do. So if you pay attention to the Word, you're going to find out God's going to speak to you, and He's going to give you whatever direction or whatever answer you're looking for. Because all the feelings and emotions, even the way you think about people. Here's the other part of it. Don't ever assume.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Something's bothering you, you think what's on. And usually a lot of times, how many of you ever felt this? Now, here's something. With a lot of things. Because Brother Gerritsen called it this. He said, the gift of suspicion. A lot of people got that gift.
Wow.
Now, listen to this now. I want you to pay attention, okay? Because when you're in that frame of mind, why is it you feel angry? That should be something that tells you right there.
Right.
And so that's why we're so prone to attack whoever it is that we're thinking that about. Yep. And guess what? If it was the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't feel that way.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's right.
But we're never to the point where we can discern that.
Yep.
Tells you. I know that. Because I've been there before. Praise God. Sometimes the devil will blind you so much you don't even know.
Yeah.
I remember Brother Gerritsen asked me a question one time. Because I did have aught against this one person. And he called me in and I was talking to him. He said, Brother Harold, who's been talking to you? I said, nobody. I said, Brother Gerritsen, nobody's been talking to me. He said, oh yes, there have. And so I was, yeah, I was. Brother Gerritsen, I'm telling you, nobody's been talking to you. He said, oh, yes, I know one person that's talking to you. You know what he was referring to? The devil.
Right. Right.
Look in his eyes.
Right.
Woo!
Wow.
That even that look in his eyes was anointed. Then I realized, you know what? He said, that's why you're feeling that way. And I thought, oh, man.
Right.
So whatever ought, whatever feelings, emotions. You know what? It will definitely hinder your growth. Your growth will be muted. You won't come to the place of really knowing. And you know what? God has given us so much wisdom and knowledge. That there's obviously, and when you get to the point where you mature in the things of God, you look back and you look at those things, you go, oh my, how did I even allow myself to be swayed like that? But that's how subtle the devil is. Wants to sneak up on you. So, amen. You have to be mature enough and humble enough that you can say, Lord, I need to make it right. That's something hard for us to do. Oh, I apologize. Jesus said to have faith as a child. Pretty simple. These little guys, they're so precious.
Yes.
Even when you infringe upon their little boundaries, guess what? First thing they'll do, they don't even harbor that bitterness. First thing they'll do is they'll walk up to you. And the thing about it, they're sincere about what, when they
yes.
do it.
Yes.
And that's what you and I should be like.
Yes.
The faith of a little little child.
Yes.
Forgive. Why? Yes. Because that love and that innocence is right there. How could you not? How could you not? Man. So thinking about these things.
I have a few minutes here.
Go with me to the book of Philemon. Philemon.
Philemon.
However you say it. Philemon. You know, I was I was kind of thinking that in my younger years, I was thinking, was this guy French? Or?
Yeah.
Obviously, he wasn't. Hallelujah. Because it almost has that French, how would I say, that French tone to it. Philemon. And look what he says here. Writer. Good one. Yeah. Right on verse number 11. Does anybody know the story behind this? But the book of Philemon. He was a servant, had some issues with his master, and so he left his master's service. But he went to go minister to Paul, took care of Paul, and so Paul sends him back to Philemon. Wanted him to, he wanted there to be a healing between those two. So that's what this letter is all about. Doing the things that is difficult for all of us to do sometimes. But look what he says in verse number 11. He says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. There's sometimes that it comes to that place whenever there is any kind of, problems with relationship. Obviously, in this situation, it did. It created some problems. So what happened? Philemon had to leave the service of his master. But I'm glad he went to the right person. He went to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul obviously must have ministered to him. And finally, he came to the realization of what really needs to happen. I need to get it right with my master. I need to get it right with him. Amen. And that's what he did. So what he did in doing all this, a lot of times we think a situation, there's always going to be a consequence to the things you do. Always going to be a consequence to your choices, to your conduct. Remember that. If we think we're going to somehow get away with it, we're not going to. We're not exempt from that. So whenever there's that kind of thing that exists in the way we are, let me tell you something. You ever wonder why it is sometimes you feel like you're just not getting anywhere? And we think we don't realize it. We're not really understanding the reason why it is. It's because you are you. And Paul obviously must have ministered to Philemon because he went back and he said, hey, you know what, Philemon, yeah. I know there's probably some things there. And like I said earlier, there's two sides of the story, but there's probably some things there. But you know what you need to do, Father Mon? You need to go back to your master, and you need to get it right with him. Or not Philemon, but Onesimus. That's who the servant was. Onesimus. Go back to Philemon and get it right with him. So he did. So the thing that was unprofitable, which Paul's talking about, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. In other words, guess what? The situation's changed. It's not a negative no more. It's a positive. And that's how we can change everything that happens in this church. It should not be all negative. Huh? Guess what? We're not enemies.
Right.
We're brothers. We're sisters in the Lord. Why is it we seem to, you know, when we have little, you know, skirmishes and stuff, why is it we just seem to get an attitude with one another? Mm. We don't realize that we turn things unprofitable. So it's really important for us to understand that in order to do that, sometimes all we have to do is make the necessary concessions. What I mean by that is that you just humble yourself. I don't know how many times in our relationship, my wife and I, where we've had to learn to say, I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry. And she had to be the one holding out the longest because I was stubborn. But finally came to my senses. I'm just being honest with you. Because my wife is really sensitive. I'm talking about her spirit and her emotions. Women are like that. But when you do correct it, boy, I tell you what, there's something about what happens, that virtue. Whoosh, and you know what? It's almost the same thing that happens to you when you repent to the Lord of your sins.
Exactly. Amen.
My.
Exactly. Amen.
So let's not be of that persuasion. Let's not be of that persuasion. Let's not be that way. We're brethren. You're sisters in the Lord.
Amen.
Be true in your relationship. Be honest. Be open. And you'll find out God will bless you for your submission. Man, tell you what. Thank the Lord for the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That's right.
Get us through. Thank you very much for your time this evening and for listening. And hallelujah. We'll see everybody. Well, garden time, Saturday, 1 o'clock. Anybody that wants to get your fingernails dirty. I think some of you do like to play in dirt, though, I think. So, yeah. But we'll see you Saturday. If not, we'll see you Sunday morning. Thank you. God bless you. Have a good night.